part of this discussion is inspired by a book that I just got called Whole, Rethinking the Science of Nutrition by T. Colin Campbell. I've just started reading it, and I really recommend it. But, you know, when we like to speak about all these different component parts of nutrition, getting your vitamins, getting phytonutrients and antioxidants, getting minerals, and, you know, new research is coming out all the time. You know, blueberries will supply these antioxidants to you. Carrots will do this for you. And, you know, we're looking at component parts, these specific nutrients. The thing is that when a food is ingested, science really has no idea what's happening in the stomach, you know, because you have numerous nutrient component parts from numerous different food items mixing together, you know, in the stomach and then, you know, in the system later. And we really don't know what's going on there. There are all kinds of interactions taking place, and the individual component parts, you know, the understanding that we have of those. Well, the whole supplement nutrition supplement industry is we're starting to see that those individual isolated nutrient supplements are not providing the benefit that we thought they should have, because we've isolated them from their context and are taking them separately. Another example I'd like to give about self is that it's something that we like to call plant positive and pest negative. These terms we borrowed from Elliot Coleman. We really liked his discussion of it. When you go out into your garden and you find a pest eating holes in your leaves, our natural response is to say, "How do I get rid of this pest? It's destroying my plants. I need to destroy it." That's really a reductionistic approach. We're just looking at one component part of a system. That pest is part of a system. And we're not seeing the whole picture. The holistic approach would look at that pest and say, "I've got a pest eating holes in my leaves. What is this telling me? What's happened here?" The holistic would recognize that the pest is on my plant because my plant's immune system is compromised. The plant is stressed somehow. Again, I think you'll probably recognize immediately that there are ties to human health here, but it's a very similar situation. So when something in the growing environment of that plant, it might be something internally, it might be something external. Most likely, it's something in the soil. Or something that's not in the soil that is providing stress to that plant, and therefore its immune system is compromised, and the bugs are attracted to it. We have seen so many examples on our farm here where healthy plants seem to be more immune to bugs than compromised plants. That I'm really convinced that this is the way things work, and it's part of a natural system. you know, the growing plants is a whole and complete system that includes, you know, the sun. It includes weather patterns, seasons. It includes the earth, and there's a whole another world of life in the soil, and encouraging and supporting that life in the soil. And then there's the system in the plant itself. There, it's, you know, the systems of, like, photosynthesis and different nutrient systems within the plant. So all of these things are related and connected to each other, and they're integrated and working together as a whole. And when something shifts in that system, then the whole thing feels it. The plant feels it. So I guess what we're saying is we want to encourage you it's not wrong to look at individual component parts, but we need to recognize that those individual component parts are each in a context, they're each in a whole, and it's we want to be recognizing that and working with the whole system in the way that things were naturally set up to work. When we work counter to the system, and we feel that a lot of agriculture using synthetic fertilizers and pesticides and things like that is it's not working with the natural system that was established. It's working counter to it, not recognizing the laws that have been put into effect. So our goal is to work with this that's been established, do our best to foster it.
So kind of the reason why we're going over this right now is because it forms such a foundation of the way that we look at agriculture in the first place, and it's going to form a foundation of how we're approaching different aspects of what we're doing in the garden throughout this whole course in each of the modules. This is kind of the foundation, the philosophy behind where we're coming at, how we approach, how we do agriculture. And I'll just throw in this little tidbit of information. We had a little farmers gathering a while back, farmers and people promoting healthy food and stuff like that. And there was a farmer there who lives in our area who's very well respected, very well known, and he was sharing about how he has been studying this relationship with bugs and plants, and he was sharing how in his research, he's realized and found out that bugs actually can't digest the sugars in plants like we do. And so when you have a healthy plant that is rich and healthy and has good sugars in its leaves, the bugs simply cannot digest it the same way that we can, and so it can't eat it. So I thought that was just a neat little piece of information since we were talking about the plant positive versus pest negative approach. So that is our little overview, our little foundation, if we could call it a foundation, which I believe it is, of our approach. And I'm hoping that you were able to get on and look at that first session of where to plant your garden. And, you know, honestly, I'm guessing that probably most of you already have a garden and you've already decided where it's going to be. But there was still information in there you could glean from. And it was, I just wanted to put that out first in case there was someone on the course who hadn't decided where to put their garden. That way they would have something to start moving forward with. Now, if you have a question or if you have something, we're going to go ahead and move into more of our interactive time. And if you have a question or you have something that you would like to share or talk about, press the number 5 and then star on your phone, and it should come up with a little person saying that you have entered the waiting list or something like that, or you've raised your hand. If it's not working, you can try pressing it again, the number 5 and then star. And we'd be glad, we'd be excited to talk with you, hear how things are going with you. So far, it doesn't look like anybody has raised their little question hand. Another thing is that if you have any questions about the course or if you have any suggestions, you know, this course is just being launched. It's just being created. It's still in the formative stages, and I'm eager to hear back from people like you. I'm eager to hear from you how things are going, thoughts or ideas that you might have that you might think would be good to incorporate. Okay. All right, we've got someone here, and I'll go ahead and unmute your phone.
Yes, hello. This is Carol Hyde, and I was just wondering, do you, with this overall big picture, do you test for like the phosphorus level and do soil testing and then augment the soil? Or how does that work with what you're sharing today?
We do soil testing. And
how do you use that information?
We find it useful. We actually have used a company called Peaceful Valley. I don't know if you're acquainted with them.
Yes.
They have an organic garden supply catalog and seed catalog. They're located in Central California, but they will do an organic soil test, and they will test for a number of micronutrients beyond the three major nutrients. But what we really appreciate is that in their recommendations, they will give you recommendations for organic amendments. If you just get a regular soil test and you find out that you need to put so much nitrogen or so much phosphorus into your soil, it's kind of hard to translate that into organic amendments.
Okay.
So we...
Now, would you recommend that for a small home garden as well?
I guess it depends on how seriously you want to go into it. It costs something, so you'd have to see if you want to make that investment. The other thing I would add is that you could talk to people and who are gardening in your area and find out what they know about the soil. Does it tend to be acidic or does it tend to be
basic,
yeah, alkaline. You know, is it high in certain nutrients or low in certain nutrients? You know, generally soil within an area is going to be somewhat similar.
So another question about the soil testing. How frequently would you be testing your soil, or is it kind of getting it to a certain standard and then it maintains that, or you have to do it every year or every couple of years? Or
again, that's kind of up to you. We have tested fields where, you know, we have a rotation for growing crops in our fields, and one of the crops in that rotation is strawberries. and strawberries are kind of a high-dollar crop. And so we've traditionally tested the field that we're going to be putting the strawberries in every year.
Mm.
So we had a three-year rotation going, so each field was tested every 3 years.
Right, I see.
Yeah, and, you know, we found that worked pretty good for us. But, you know, over time, you can get your soil somewhat balanced.
Mm-hmm.
By adding those amendments. The organic amendments are usually rock powders or, you know, ground-up rocks.
Uh-huh.
They break down slowly in the soil. And I think I would probably want to do it at least every 3 years if you're wanting to do testing. I don't think it would be necessary to do it every year, especially if you're using organic amendments. You know, if you're just kind of.
Mm-hmm. May I ask how much land you're cultivating?
On our farm, we're cultivating about 7 acres altogether.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But I would like to just add one other thing. Adding organic matter to your soil tends to buffer it. And so if you're high in things or low in things, or your pH is high or low, adding organic matter tends to buffer that. Whatever it is, it tends to bring it more towards a normal range. So that's just another idea for amending your soil. You know, you can add organic matter and not necessarily test it, and it'll do a lot towards buffering it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'll just add something here. I was recently in January at an agriculture conference, and someone was sharing there about a place doing free soil testing. And so I can't make any promises on this, but I'm going to try and go back and find out where that is. And if I can find that, I will shoot that information out to everyone. So look out for something. Like I said, I can't promise anything, but I'll try and find that. And
okay, another quick question then for your dad. When he talked about Peaceful Valley, the difference between the kind of testing you're getting is the recommendations given. So Peaceful Valley is giving organic recommendations. But if this free place is giving is doing free testing, they may not give organic recommendations, but at least you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I'm not sure about what kind of recommendations they will give. It was at a SOG conference, which stands for Southern Sustainable Agriculture and Workers Group, which is pretty much on the organic side.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if it does or doesn't. I might be able to find that out too, but that's
mm-hmm,
true.
Right.
You would know what you're working with.
Right, exactly. All right, thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome. And Carol, I think that you bring up a really good point. Your original question was, you know, how do you look at soil testing in light of the big picture? And it really is so important that we don't only look at the big picture, because we do have to look at the little components as well. It's just looking at those little components in the reference frame of the larger picture, of the larger system.
I could explain the organic matter in the bigger picture. What's happening is it's lots of microbes and fungi in the soil that actually make the nutrients in the soil bioavailable to the plants. And those fungi and microbes are they're making their living off the organic matter in the soil. So by having a good amount of organic matter, you're fostering the life of these microbes and fungi, and I believe that's why organic matter tends to buffer the soil, because you're fostering a higher population of these things that are able to make nutrients bioavailable to the plants.
And just again, thanks so much, Carol. That was an excellent question. Really, really appreciated it. Thanks for asking that.
My husband.
Oops, I'm sorry. I just muted you, but you were just going to say something.
No, I was just going to say my husband had a question.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah, my name is Bruce, and we've actually been doing the Back to Eden type of program with wood chips, and we're conquering our land by knocking down the weeds with laying down cardboard and then putting down wood chips like 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We've actually been doing this over a 2-year period of time, and principally over the area where our orchard is. And we put in about, over the last 2 years, at least 70 fruit trees. And
oh, wow.
the whole area is wood chipped, so it really helps a lot with weed control and, you know, moisture management and things like that.
Yeah.
But some cherry trees that we have, we just noticed some of the leaves having a lot of aphids on it. And we actually planted every tree using the Ellen White method, you know, digging the hole 3 feet deep and 3 feet in diameter and putting good stuff in, because our basic soil structure is basically sand and gravel below the first 3 inches of topsoil. So we're trying to give our trees a bit of a boost in their start.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if you have any counsel as it relates to what we can do for these aphids.
Hmm.
Can I ask where you're located?
Your focus is not so much on orchards, though, is it?
We don't have so much experience with that.
Uh-huh.
We were just visiting a friend in Southern California who was having a similar problem, aphids and ants, you know, cultivating the aphids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ants were eating the fruit.
Uh-huh. What were they doing?
Well, he was asking us if we had ideas. He had tried, you know, using I don't remember what he called it. It was some kind of a bait that had a boron product in it, but he hadn't felt that was particularly effective.
Someone visited us today, and they were talking about a soap sud type of spray. I don't know if that's really organic or not.
Yeah, there is.
There is an insecticidal soap that you can get that is organic that people have used with aphids.
It's
okay.
It's usually available at Lowe's. It's called Safer Soap.
Safer?
Yeah, Safer, S-A-F-E-R. It's a pretty common organic product. But I'm not sure that would really solve your problem.
Another thing you could think about, and obviously I don't know exactly the whole situation where you're at, but the first thing we think of, or at least I think of when we see aphids, is that the plant is stressed somehow. And often the case is that it's often a water issue. It's not getting enough water. Now, in your case, with the mulch and all that, it would be much easier for it to retain and be keeping the water and be getting enough water. But that's just something to throw out there, something to think about. Not enough water, and then also, you know, it could be lacking some nutrients in the soil that is stressing it. And something you could try is composting it, composting around it. Obviously, you're not going to see an immediate difference, but
mm-hmm.
it's something to try.
Okay. Well, those are three very helpful tips: watering, composting, and Safer.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I would like to, because of you, where are you located geographically?
Well, we're in the Battle Creek Kalamazoo area of Michigan.
Oh,
so
okay.
Southern Michigan.
Yeah. Huh. Well, because you and this friend have brought this up, I'd like to do some research on that. If we can find any other information, we'll let you all know.
Thank you. We really are excited about what you're doing here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Bruce and Carol. Really appreciate
All right, we'll open up for others to ask questions.
All right. Thanks so much. Yeah, if anyone else has a question or something that you want to talk about, some thoughts on the program, something in your own garden. I know someone just joined here, and we're just in our question and answer time. If you've got something you want to just hit the number 5 and then the star key on your phone or on your phone pad. Otherwise, it doesn't look like we have anyone else lined up to talk right now. So I'll start closing up here. If you think of something quickly, then hit the number 5 and the star key on your phone pad, and we'll catch you in. Otherwise, as we start closing up the call here, looking into the future, I just wanted to give you a little glimpse into what we're looking at as we continue going on through this course. Now, the training sessions that you're seeing being posted up are more of a PowerPoint presentation style, and it's going over a bunch of information. You know, there was the one that was posted up about where to plant your garden, and I just posted one up on planning your garden and how to plan it. And they're more informational, like I said. It's just going through a bunch of information. But very soon, we're going to be getting into some practical things. And I'm going to be taking the camera out and shooting some hands-on things like preparing your beds. And when we get into transplanting and direct seeding, I'm wanting to show you some visual hands-on in the garden, what we're doing, how we're doing it. Things like that. So that's something to look forward to. And over these next few weeks and on through the summer, we're going to be in high content mode, pushing to get information to you as soon as we can and making it quality. So as we go through these next couple weeks before we have our next conference call, and as you're going through the modules, if you have something that just pops into your mind, a question or something that you have, just jot it down or save it for our next conference call, and we would be excited to talk with you. Yeah, I'll ask just one more time. If anybody has anything, now's your last chance. So jump in, press number 5 and then star, and we'll catch you in here. Otherwise, as we close up, let's just have a little prayer together. Dad, would you like to close us in prayer?
Father in heaven, we just thank you that you have given us such an amazing world to live in and work in. We pray that you would bless the work of our hands as we work with you in our gardens. Pray that you would be with each one who's been with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks so much for getting on this call. Thanks for being a part of this program and making it a success. And I'm really excited about where things are going. And as we move into these next sessions, I'm excited about the interactions that we'll be able to have and look forward to getting to know you all better, if possible. So have a wonderful evening, and God bless you all. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
The host has joined the conference.